On Mondays, we read from your letters, and this week we start with a correction. During our show on war presidents, we said that Abraham Lincoln never served in the military. Jim Findlay of Illinois, the land of Lincoln, wrote to us to say otherwise. Lincoln rose to the rank of captain in the Illinois militia, which is roughly equivalent to today's National Guard. Thanks for the correction, Jim. Our third installment in our series on the 9/11 Commission's recommendations was about first responders and emergency preparedness, and it brought in a lot of email. Some listeners, like Jody Kasten of Jacksonville, Florida, say not enough is being done to prepare for disasters. She wrote to us just as Hurricane Frances was building up strength. Last night, there wasn't a C or D battery to be found in Duval County. This should tell us something about how ready we are. David Sutton of San Francisco is less concerned about preparedness and more concerned about the hype. It seems that all this rhetoric regarding civilian preparation rejuvenates this state of fear, which is clearly not needed unless you live or work in or around large city centers with real targets. Orin Shawcall from Mountain View, California, emailed us with a question after our show on charter schools. How do the two presidential candidates differ on the charter school issue, he wonders. Well, we checked in with both campaigns, and it turns out both candidates support charter schools. The greatest barrier to expanding charter schools is lack of facilities funding, says a spokesman for the Kerry campaign. Charter schools need to be held to the same standards as other schools, and when they're not working, we need to hold them accountable. Charters are uniquely accountable to parents because if they don't perform, their charter can be revoked, writes a spokesman for the Bush campaign. And more importantly, the vast majority of charter schools serve students that have struggled the most in traditional schools. During our show on living in poverty, we received both calls and emails about the use of credit ratings in hiring decisions. And we turn now to Liz Pulliam-Weston. She's a columnist for MSN Money and the author of the forthcoming Your Credit Score, How to Fix, Improve, and Protect the Three-Digit Number That Shapes Your Financial Future. Thanks very much for joining us on this Labor Day.
Thanks for the invitation, Neil.
I understand there are some indications that the scrutiny of prospective employees' credit histories is on the rise, and not just for federal government jobs.
Exactly. Well, security clearances are traditionally a place where you look for credit information, but talking to human resource managers, they say that employers in general are looking into credit histories for a lot of different positions. If you're dealing with money in any capacity, if you're a bank teller, if you deal with the cash register, or if you're on the executive level, if you're a chief financial officer, it's pretty certain that they're going to look into your background and take a look at your credit report.
Is it just those financial kind of trust jobs or across the board?
Generally, it should be limited to people that actually deal with money, but I have heard from people that said that their credit was checked and their position had nothing to do with money. So the smart employers are limiting it to the cash-type positions or executive positions. But, you know, if you give permission to an employer to check your credit, they're going to do it.
Well, what about employee rights? Do you have rights when it comes to your credit history being checked by a prospective employer?
Actually, you do. As I mentioned, you do have to give your permission for a credit check to happen. Of course, if you don't give your permission, there goes that job. They have to tell you if an adverse action is taken because of that credit information. And then finally, they have to give you the contact information for the company that supplied the credit information, like a credit bureau or a middleman kind of firm that got them the information, so that you can contact that company and dispute the information. Now, the problem is, once you've gotten the contact information, the job's probably already been given to someone else. So it doesn't help a lot if you haven't checked your credit report in advance and taken care of any errors that might be there.
Liz Pulliam-Weston, thanks very much.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invitation again.
Liz Pulliam-Weston is a columnist for MSN Money, and she was with us by phone from her home office in Los Angeles, California. You can send us an email with your questions, comments, or corrections. The address is totn@npr.org. Be sure to tell us where you're writing from and give us some help with how to pronounce your name. Talk of the Nation is produced by Kara Arsenault, Chad Campbell, Dustin Dwyer, Setsuko Sato, Becky Vlamis, and Megan Williams. Brendan Banaszak directs the program. Joel Riddle is our production assistant. Susanna George is our intern. The technical director is Kevin Waite. Gemma Hooley and Marcus Rosenbaum edit the program. The executive producer of Talk of the Nation, I like saying this, is Sue Goodwin. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.